This is Family Court Vision,
the podcast where a woman and her son discuss all things basketball.
On today's episode, we have Breanna Stewart, rock star basketball player and rock star mom. In the NBA, everyone's mad. NBA 2K, game schedules, everyone's just mad. The movie we watched, our movie review this week is Thunderstruck, or is it Thunderstruck Out?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then for our game of the week, are Jack's best moments in sports really the best moments, or are they the sparks for a heart attack? Because that's how I felt when you said every single one of those.
Wow. Nerves / excitement, it's all the same thing. Let us boogeth.
Welcome to episode 34 of Family Court Vision. It is 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 19th.
Sure is. Thursday.
Thursday. How are ya?
I am doing just well. How are you?
I'm great. I've had a busy, busy week.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Doing what?
Well, I got a haircut today. You didn't mention that you noticed, but I got a haircut a couple hours ago.
You have the headphones on. It's a little hard to tell.
Okay. I've been to a lot of entertainment venues in the past week.
Let's hear them.
So last week, we did not record on Wednesday. We did it early on Tuesday because Wednesday I had plans. Dad and I went to see Hall & Oates at Jones Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first one. Hall & Oates were okay, but Squeeze was there too, and Squeeze was phenomenal.
I don't know what Squeeze is.
It's another band. Come on. I'm not going to sing their songs for you. That would be horrible.
Are there any song titles that I would know?
They have Pulling Muscles from a Shell. They have Black Coffee in Bed. Just really great classic music for us.
Okay.
And they sounded great, and they played great, and they were fantastic. I love them. We went to the concert for Hall & Oates, but then Squeeze was also there. And they weren't, like, fantastic performers. I don't know that I need to go see them again, like, for a lot of money in a big place, but, like, in a smaller venue, I might like it, just, like, as a concert.
Okay.
And then on Friday, so your sister is directing a Shakespeare, Titus Andronicus,
mm-hmm.
and your brother filled in on Friday for one of the actors who couldn't be there. So we went to see it. First time I've ever seen that show. Extremely violent.
Yeah.
Blood. That on Friday, I saw it again on Sunday, but on Friday, blood was spraying across the audience.
Fun. Was there a splash zone?
They should have given out raincoats.
Yeah.
And then we went to see, on Saturday, we went to see a local teen production of Rock of Ages.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fun to listen to that music. That was a lot of fun. And I had book group this week.
So that's a different kind of performance in itself.
Mm-hmm. I did not like the book.
Sorry to hear that. What book was it?
It's called The Overstory, and it's about trees. That's all. It's like 500 pages, and it's a Pulitzer winner, and it's about trees. Personally, I prefer The Lorax, which is another book about trees by Dr. Seuss. That one I liked more than I liked this one.
Okay.
So that's it.
Nice.
That's all I did this week. What about you?
Yeah, I had a pretty crazy weekend. Friday after work, I went back to the old Long Island to see that same performance of Titus Andronicus that you saw.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing you there.
Yeah, yeah. And that was great, obviously, you know, very much enjoyed that. And then stayed over at your house that night.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day woke up.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you stayed over because.
Because.
What were you going
to
say?
At 4:30 the next morning, I woke up and I left to drive back to my apartment.
Oof.
To pick up my girlfriend, Lauren, to then drive 3 more hours out to Pennsylvania.
Oof.
To to meet her whole side of the family that I had not met yet.
Oh, how'd it go?
I think it went well. She's sitting in the room with me right now, so she's giving me the so-so gesture. So, but yeah, so I got to meet them. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I got to meet everybody. I think I have everybody's names down, which is good. Mm-hmm. And then that same day, we drove the 3 hours back here.
My God, you must have been exhausted.
I was exhausted. I did sleep in on Sunday. And then we also went to a Barnes & Noble in our area on Sunday, a big Barnes & Noble that is open but still in the process of being built.
Oh, it's new?
It's either new or it's newly being renovated.
But well, that's exciting.
There's two floors of it.
Uh-huh.
And I actually bought two books myself there.
What did you buy?
I bought two basketball books. One is The Book of Basketball by Bill Simmons. It's a pretty popular book among NBA fans. It's pretty much the entire history of the NBA. He's like a huge basketball nerd and basketball historian. You know, that's looked at as a lot of people, like if they don't know or, you know, weren't alive like me for much of the NBA's being, then reading that is a good way to catch yourself up. Mm-hmm. And then I also bought the new Giannis book that is out, which I can't remember what it might just be called. Giannis. I can't remember what it's called.
It's like Giannis, the making of an MVP or something.
That might be exactly it.
I have it on my list to buy or to read.
Yeah, it just came out. It's by, I'm now realizing that I don't think I've ever heard this person's name out loud. I've only seen it. It's Miron Fader. I think that's correct.
It's Giannis, the improbable rise of an NBA MVP.
So. Mm-hmm.
Who is Miron Fader? Do we know who that is?
She is a sports journalist, I think specifically for basketball. And she spent, I think, the last year plus basically following Giannis around and, you know, learning about him and getting his takes on everything. So
this is an authorized biography.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I've heard it's supposed to be good. I've heard a lot of hype about the book leading up to it, and it just came out, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago, so... I'm excited to start diving into that one.
Nice.
And that's it for me.
That's it?
That's it.
You fit your whole week into Saturday, basically. Like all of your...
All my stuff.
All of your stuff.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. Anything else for you?
I don't think so.
Okay, let's get into our first segment of the day, which is basketball news of the week.
Basketball news of the week. The first thing that I want to talk about is the NCAA, because they have now decided, they just announced that they're going to use the March Madness branding for the women's tournament as well. It used to be exclusive to the men's, but they have negotiated whatever they need to negotiate, and now that branding will apply to the women as well.
So it's a good thing, right?
Yes, it's a step towards equality.
This is, I do have to admit, I didn't know that it wasn't. I mean, I don't follow college basketball really at all for either men's or women's. So I just assumed that it was also part of March Madness. Mm-hmm. But I was wrong, clearly. So
I think there's a, maybe CBS, like I think there's a broadcast ownership of that title. Or something. Mm-hmm. I think there had to be something, so it's not just the NCAA who just made this decision. They had to like negotiate to get this as part of it. But it's a good step. Let's see how the workout room is next year.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
Let's see how that goes.
Okay. WNBA.
Mm-hmm. So the Commissioner's Cup was last week.
It sure was. Yeah.
It's exciting. Two really good teams played each other.
First ever Commissioner's Cup.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that the Commissioner's Cup was instituted was to help give more money to the players, because they don't make a lot of money. They can only make the amount of money that's in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if they add other opportunities that can give them money, you know, that's another way to make some more money.
Yeah.
So that was a great game. I really enjoyed it. There were some complaints about, like fan appreciation in relation to the game, you know, not a lot of like hyping it up with the fans as far as merch and, you know, things going on during the game or surrounding the game. But I think the game itself, the actual play, I enjoyed it. So the team that did not win, every player on the team got $10,000. And the team that did win, every player got $5,000, $30,000, sorry. Every player on the winning team got $30,000, and the MVP got an additional $5,000. And that was Brianna Stewart.
It sure was. And we'll get into her in a second. But yeah, but yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's a great addition. It adds, you know, some more interest. Now, of course, I'm not sure where this fits in non-Olympic years where there's not like a big break right in the middle. So like, I'm not sure, you know, I'm sure they will attempt to continue it, but I'm not sure if it'll be in exactly the same type of year, exactly the same time of year or, but yeah, so it was the Storm, won the first ever, Commissioner's Cup. Yeah.
That's right.
What were you going to say?
Is the All-Star game midway through the season?
What do you mean? Like, is it at the midway point?
Yeah.
I don't know if I mean, it's definitely the middle of the season. I don't know if it's, like, exactly halfway.
Because this game was based on the stats from the first half of the season. So maybe if there's an All-Star break, this could also be part of that.
Well, yeah, because we talked about when it was the All-Star night, we were talking about that they should try to expand it into like an All-Star weekend and have, you know, the 3-point contest and maybe add a skills competition, do that all on one night and then the game and then maybe, you know, another game on the third night or something. But
this year, were there games, I can't remember anything. Were there games after the All-Star game but before the Olympics?
I don't think that there were.
So that could work as a break.
Yeah.
You know, All-Star break. Because this game happened right after the Olympics, so.
Mm-hmm. So
is
yeah.
the season as long when there's not an Olympics?
As long, like, months-wise?
Yeah, because they had to take, like, 2 weeks off, I think.
Yeah.
To do the Olympics. So if there's not an Olympics, do they just get 2 weeks off or do they compress it and they come back earlier?
I don't know that. Hmm. We'll have to look into that for next year, obviously. But I think there's also, now I can't remember the numbers. I think there's 32 games this year and there's normally supposed to be 34 or something. Like I think they did take two games
so they just
off the schedule,
those two out.
But okay. Still, I mean, they were off for a month, so you would assume that it would still be more compressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Do you want to do Brianna Stewart now?
Or? I do. And okay. And you, so you just kind of indicated in our little script, leave space for mom to give her Brianna Stewart speech.
Yeah.
So are you referring to my post from the other day of talking about all the things that I talked about in that post? Or is there, because I don't want to disappoint you if you had something else in mind.
No, I just know that this is something that you were very vocal about, or this is someone that you were very vocal about the past couple of days, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And you had compiled more information than I had, so I figured you could...
Well,
you could shower her with praise, yeah.
We all know Brianna Stewart's a rock star. Anybody who follows the WNBA knows that she's a rock star. So Brianna recently married her partner, I think just several months ago, just a few months ago, within this calendar year. Her partner, who she met when she was playing overseas, her partner's name is Marta Shargai. And they recently married, which was lovely. And they didn't tell anyone, but they were expecting a baby through a surrogate, which is lovely and very sweet. And it's not their job to tell us. I just mean, like, we didn't know this was coming. So Breanna Stewart, she goes to the Olympics. She's already a rock star. Goes to the Olympics, gets a gold medal. This is her second gold medal. There's no MVP of the Olympics, but FIBA decides she's the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
She's their MVP. So she's like the MVP of the Olympics, right? Because FIBA is the governing body of the teams, right?
Right, yeah.
So she basically gets MVP of that. Flies home. 2 days later, after she flies home, probably hasn't even caught up with her jet lag, her baby is born. Which we didn't know about until she was born.
Yeah.
So she welcomes her new baby. She and her wife welcome their new baby, which is all very exciting. She gets on another plane, flies out to, where was Commissioner Scott? Phoenix?
Yeah, I think that's
Las
right,
Vegas?
Yeah.
Phoenix? Flies out to Phoenix. Yeah, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flies out to Phoenix to play in the Commissioner's Cup. Again, a rock star. Is named MVP of the whole Commissioner's Cup. So it's good since she has a new young family that she got to make an extra $5,000 for this. You know, mm-hmm. that helps.
Yeah.
And then she decides she's going to take off 2 games to kind of bond with her wife and the baby. And then she'll get back to it. So she was off this week. And I do not know how she's even awake. I mean, even a parent who isn't the one who gives birth to a child is tired when a baby is born. And add that to playing really hard in the Olympics and jet lag and new baby and Commissioner's Cup and everything else. And still, she's just still a rock star.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
And that, I mean, that's just, you know, a crazy last couple of weeks that she's had. But she also won the WNBA Finals last year, won Finals MVP, and also won a tournament
right.
over in Europe between the seasons.
And was the MVP there, too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all of those MVPs aren't even her, the Finals MVP wasn't her first MVP. She's also mm-hmm. been a WNBA League MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And won championships in college. She's just, I mean,
mm-hmm. and she's a great team player. I really enjoyed watching her in the Olympics and in the Commissioner's Cup. But I really, you know, in the Olympics, since it wasn't all the same people on the same team playing with each other, I enjoyed watching their growth as a team, learning how to play with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. So now I have a question for you, unrelated, I mean, related to WNBA, but unrelated to Breanna Stewart. So I saw some report that buzzer is now something. Is now, WNBA is the first women's professional league to join forces with buzzer. Like, what's buzzer? Is
yeah.
that like Facebook for sports people? I
yeah.
don't know.
I don't know either. The first time I heard of buzzer was today when I saw those reports.
Hmm. The reports were saying, like, it's kind of a way for the younger generation to connect the way that the younger generation connects with the world and the internet, like in, I guess, short snippets and exciting videos and things, and it brings you quick news and notifications. But also, like, they're offering the WNBA League Pass through buzzer somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't look into all the details today, but I know that it was a big thing of, like, this partnership is going to give better access to the general populace to watch the WNBA, whether it's full games or highlights or, you know, just watching the fourth quarter or whatever. But that was, I think, the whole idea of the partnership was to make it easier to access, easier to watch games. And yeah, good thing, because often the Liberty games are very difficult to watch for me, who does not have cable. So any ways that I can have easier access to watching, I will gladly welcome.
Yeah.
Nyaka Ogumike is back on the court. She was injured for much of the first half of the season. She's, of course, you know, one of the top players in the league, and, of course, was involved in all of the Olympic news and, you know, trying to play for Team Nigeria and all of the bad stuff that happened with that. Finally, she's back on a court. We're seeing her play basketball in her first game. She did go down and she looked like she was injured and was really scary, but then she came back in the second half and played. So,
And then in her second game this week against the Sparks, she got a career high assist.
Oh, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. So good. Good to see her back on the court. Good to see her thriving. And then, of course, the very exciting game that happened last night. Liberty over the Storm. Granted, the Storm without Breonna Stewart and Sue Bird. But...
yeah, but... there's not going to be an asterisk next to that score.
No, there's not.
It's just a score.
And listen, the Storm are really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
Having two awesome players like that helps. But like Jewel Lloyd, I think, went for 35 last night or something
That. That's right.
So it was definitely a tough opponent. Mm-hmm. And it was a close game throughout most of it. And then Liberty were down and we had to make a little fourth quarter comeback. And it all culminated with Benaija Laney's bank shot to basically put us in the lead for good with like 17 seconds left, something like that. It was super exciting play.
As always, the end of the game was very like heart stopping, breath stopping.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And a couple of role players came up big in that game. Dee Richards was awesome. Yeah. She's an awesome defender already.
Yes,
first season, she's awesome. And she hit some big shots.
She did. And she did a good job defending Jewel Lloyd, like especially in the fourth quarter.
I saw a stat that, like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, like, Jewel Lloyd was whatever for whatever in terms of efficiency throughout the first three quarters. And then Walt made the switch to having Dee Dee on her, and she was much less effective in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Benaija had been defending against Jewel Lloyd, and they switched it up and put Dee Dee on her. And Benaja's a great scorer, so she should maybe not have to defend, like, such a monster of a scorer while she's also trying to be a scorer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Dee Dee is, she's very long. She has good size.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also, I mean, she's young and she's athletic, so she can stick with the smaller players while using her size to disrupt them. So
I think she's 6'2".
Yeah, she's, I remember when we went to the game a couple of weeks ago, like seeing her in person, I was like, oh, she's taller than I, like, figured watching on TV. So,
And Beck Allen was great in this game too.
She was, hit a bunch of threes.
You know who was not great in this game?
Who?
The announcer.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Actually, the announcing team as a whole were not very exciting. I wasn't hyped from listening to them.
Uh-huh.
But it was a man and a woman, and the male announcer, who I think is typically a Giants announcer, or also a Giants announcer, he was mispronouncing everything. He mispronounced Benaja's first name twice, her last name once. He misspoke about Breonna Stewart. He said her wife just had a baby. You know, apparently they get a pronunciation guide.
Yeah.
This is his job. You're getting paid for this. Learn how to pronounce these people. Maybe you can't learn how to pronounce all the people's names in all the teams all at the same time. But before this day's game, read through your guide.
Mm-hmm.
Read the New York Times article about Breonna Stewart and her recent motherhood.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very disappointing.
But an otherwise exciting night.
Very exciting.
Yes. All right. Anything else, W?
Uh-uh. Well, kind of I'll start the NBA portion with it, but it's kind of a combination.
Okay, let's move into the NBA.
Okay. So Christy Tolliver was just, we think, named assistant coach for the Mavs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the report that's out. I don't know if the Mavs have made the official announcement, but the report is that she is the assistant coach for the Mavs. And I have a question because I kind of looked this up to see her history. So she's a former WNBA player. She opted out of the bubble. But I also read that in 2018, she became a full-time assistant coach for the Washington Wizards. How do you do that?
You mean while also being a player?
Right, because she was a player then. How can you? That's like serious time management.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess, got to really love basketball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, clearly with this now, you can see that coaching is clearly something she has an interest in. So,
yeah. And is good at, because people are noticing.
Right. So, yeah, good for her. I mean,
yeah.
you were saying when we were talking about the hiring, that, you know, having a female head coach in the NBA is long overdue and would be awesome, and there should be more than one. But it's also about, you know, establishing a whole pipeline too. And, you can't get a head coaching job without any coaching experience. So hiring women as assistants is also very important. So
that's right.
So yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. The summer league just ended. It was actually shorter than I think I said it was going to be. But summer league just ended. The Kings won it all. Kings won the summer league championship.
Was there a player on that team whose name is King? I feel like I read a story and I was confused, because I feel like it was talking about someone named King and the team called the Kings. I could have been just making that all up.
It's possible. I can't. I mean, I think I watched one summer league game. I can't follow because they have so many. Except for like the top, like the first round picks for every team, everybody else is, you know, it's undrafted guys, or it's, you know, guys who have been in league but haven't really got a shot and things like that. So it's hard to keep track of who's on which team. But the Kings did win. Their rookie Davion Mitchell won co-MVP of the whole league, along with Cam Thomas of the Nets. Yeah, that's pretty much it. For scouts and GMs, the summer league is important to see how these young players are developing, see if any of them deserve a roster spot. But it's hard to take much out of it, because you're not playing against the same competition and you're not playing with the same level of teammates. So, like, it's hard to tell what to take out of that. The NBA also just revealed the schedule for the opening weekend of next season and for the Christmas Day games. My only takeaway from this story is that if I was the Suns, I would be pissed.
Because they're not playing on Christmas?
They are playing on Christmas, but not in like a primetime game. And they're not playing on opening night. They're the reigning Western Conference champions. Mm-hmm. And the Bucks are obviously playing the first game, but it's the Nets are playing. They were out in the second round last year. I know it's a big market. It's Kevin Durant. You know, everybody expects them to be great next year. The Warriors are playing on opening night. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. The Lakers are playing on opening night. They were out in the first round. I know these teams have stars and, mm-hmm. you know, there's context involved. But if I'm the Suns, I'm like, I just came within a game of winning the finals. I should mm-hmm. be being promoted on these big games.
Yeah.
That's just me.
You know who else is not being represented when you might expect it?
Who?
Nikola Jokic.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was the MVP, and he is not playing on Christmas. And I believe this is the first time in over a decade that that has happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's close to 15 years since that has happened.
I'd be pissed if I was him, too. I would be pissed if, I was a Nuggets fan in general.
Mm-hmm. Lots to be pissed about with basketball this week.
It's just
NBA.
Yeah, it's just like, to me, like, you know, the story of last NBA season was the ridiculous amount of injuries along with all the COVID stuff. But like, mm-hmm. if you're, you know, the NBA throughout all of it, because of course they have to, was like, this is, you know, injuries happen every year. This is a normal year, you know. It's unfortunate, but this is just what happens, blah, 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 blah. So if you want to continue that illusion that last year wasn't a fluke and the players who won these awards and the teams who won their series in the playoffs were the real winners. And they, you know, then you would say, okay, Jokic mm-hmm. was the real MVP and the Suns were the real Western Conference champs. And we should expect them to be awesome again next year. So,
right. But this kind of leads into the grumpiness of some players with another announcement this week where the video game ratings came out.
Yes, that's right. They're not everybody's rating.
Called NBA 2K?
2K, yeah. And then it's whatever next year is. So 2K22 is the one that's coming out. So they do these reveals where they reveal them one by one. But we have the top five WNBA ratings and the top 10 NBA ratings we have so far.
Well, Jokic got the highest rating of his career.
Yes, he has a 95, he's tied for second. But yeah, so we had a three-way tie for the men at the top. LeBron, KD, and Giannis all had 96s. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Looks like Steph Curry does as well. Steph Curry, and then Kawhi Leonard, Jokic, Joel Embiid, Luka Doncic, James Harden, and Damian Lillard. And then over in the women, Breonna Stewart, number one, Asia Wilson, Jonquil Jones, Candace Parker, and Brittany Griner. That's their top five. So it's, you know, I mean, in the long run, it doesn't mean anything, but we had talked about before that gaming and specifically 2K is becoming a larger and larger part of basketball culture in general. Mm-hmm. And it's also an interesting look at to what, you know, a major voice in the basketball society, who they think the top players are. So.
Right. But some people were mad by some people's ratings. They didn't think that, like, LeBron was mad about someone's ratings, didn't think it was high enough.
He was... again, with LeBron, there is always an agenda. So I'm trying to figure out what it is. I couldn't quite figure it out. But he, for both KD and Steph, he was saying that they should be 99s instead of 96s. There's only been one 99-rated player in the past, like, two decades. Well, I guess since the game has been out. And that was in 2014, and that was LeBron James. But... So, you know, on one hand, there's that. And then on the other hand, today he's tweeting out stuff about because there was a GM survey league survey that came out. A bunch of people in the league voted on, you know, the best and worst offseason moves and different things like that. And LeBron received 0 votes for who's the best player in the league.
Oh.
Probably for the first time since, you know, over 10 years ago. And so a lot of people were like, you know, this is ridiculous. He's going to show you again this year. And he was retweeting some stuff and being like, you know, just motivation, whatever. So, you know, on one hand, he's saying he's not pissed about his NBA rating. He wants two players to be higher than him, but he wants to be the best player in the league. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All
right. That survey, by the way, the two top vote getters were Kevin Durant and Giannis. And I agree with those. So. Mm-hmm. We also had Joel Embiid signed a 4-year, $196 million contract extension to stay with the Philadelphia 76ers. So they have locked him up through, I think, the 2026 or 7 season. Because the extension doesn't kick in until a couple of years from now. But
I feel like there was, when everybody... all the information was flying about trades and things. Does the word Julius Randle, is that a Philly player?
That's a New York player.
Okay. Wasn't there someone they were saying, like, it doesn't make sense for the team to keep this person and Joel Embiid because they're, like, the same thing, but Joel Embiid's better?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Ben Simmons, yeah.
Ben Simmons, okay. And whatever happened with him this season?
He's still on the team. According to his agent, he is he's done with them. He does not want to play with them. He wants to be traded. I think that Daryl Morey, who's the GM of the 76ers, I think he's trying to wait to see if he can try to trade Ben Simmons for Damian Lillard. But I don't think that's going to, I don't think Portland's going to make Damian Lillard available like that. Mm-hmm. But the reports are that if it comes to this, Ben Simmons might not be reporting to training camp until he gets traded. So things could get a lot uglier pretty soon. And, you know, with this, I mean, I think this was the right decision. If they're sticking with one, Joel Embiid, in my mind, is the far better player. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, if they're sticking with one, he's the right one to mm-hmm. to sign a bunch of money over to. So, so we'll see what happens with that.
All right.
Any other news?
Nothing that I know.
Okay, let's get into our next segment of the day, which is our movie review of Thunderstruck.
Thunderstruck. When I announced it last week, you were like, I don't know what this is. And I said, I'm not going to tell you. So now you watched it.
I did watch it, yeah.
And so first of all, tell me what you thought and then give us a little synopsis.
Yeah, so this is a 2012 movie. It follows this 16-year-old kid, Brian, who lives in Oklahoma, and he's a very bad basketball player and a dork and, you know, can't get any girls to talk to him. And, but he loves basketball and he's the team manager on the high school team because he can't get on to the team. And you know, he's the laughing stock and there's a bully and all this stuff. And then, He goes to an Oklahoma City Thunder game. He gets called down to do the half-court shot at halftime. He is terrible at that, too. He hits the mascot with the ball. And then it rolls over to Kevin Durant, who's there. And Kevin Durant hands him the ball. And he's like, you know, keep your hard work up, kid. And somehow through the ball hitting the mascot and then Kevin Durant touching the ball, Kevin Durant's talent is transferred over to Brian. Mm-hmm. So then Brian becomes this great high school basketball player, and he's the star, and he's dunking and leading his team to the championship. And Kevin Durant in the NBA has lost all his talent, and he can't make a shot, and he's terrible. And then they have to figure out how to get the talent back to Kevin Durant. And
mm-hmm. No spoilers.
Yeah. I'm sure nobody can figure out where that's going.
Nobody could guess where that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was basically just like a bad version of the first Space Jam and Like Mike, sort of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where like somehow a kid or, you know, somebody who's not supposed to have it ends up with the talent of an NBA superstar and are able to do things with that. And then the NBA superstar, not in Like Mike, but in the first Space Jam, the NBA superstar who loses their talent sucks and they're depressed and everything.
I think what we've learned is the NBA star's talents lie in animate objects.
Yeah.
Like basketballs and shoes and things like that. Like, and they don't actually have the talent in them. It is in these things. And you can get it.
You can get it through like electricity or like lightning. Yeah. That's mostly how the transfer happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah.
This was like basically a Disney Channel movie, pretty much. I mean, it wasn't, but like it was.
Mm-hmm. You know, this movie had a $7 million budget and it made $600,000 at the box office.
That's not good.
Not good.
If I'm doing my math correctly on that, I believe that's a net loss.
And since this movie came out in 2012, and I only first heard about it 6 months ago, I'm guessing it didn't have, like, major, like, streaming revenue as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. Now, Nike and Sports Illustrated were both referenced in this and shown in this. Do those teams pay, or do those companies pay to be in this? Do you have to ask their permission in order to do some kind of brand stuff in your movie? Like, how does this happen?
Again, I don't know. I did write down that there was a good amount of product placement in this movie. Gatorade, Nike. There was the one shot where they were just like just panning over the Gatorade bottles. Like there was no other reason than that. So you definitely need permit. You can't just use brands. You definitely need permission, but brands may also pay to do that. I'm not sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was also like Kevin Durant agreeing to this movie. You also have to include his brands that he sponsors and works for, you know? So yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if that was a term in the contract.
And surprise, guess who was in this movie? Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I know you're shocked to hear that. He's never been in a movie before, so I don't know what drew him to this one.
This has got to be number 5 or 6, something like that, of the ones that we watched.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it had, like a typical basketball movie, had a lot of NBA player cameos. Now, it was Shaq, Kenny, Chuck, and Ernie from the TNT show. But they, you know, they were talking about Kevin Durant. And then we also had Marv Albert, who just retired, Reggie Miller, and Steve Kerr, who 4 years later would become Kevin Durant's coach in Golden State. Mm-hmm. They were the announcing crew in this, so they were also cameos there.
Candace Parker was in it.
Candace Parker was in it, just yelling at Kevin Durant.
Throwing some shade at Kevin Durant.
To get his talent back, yeah.
Pick up your game.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot in there, and a lot of Oklahoma City broadcasters also were in it. Those were the people broadcasting were actual Oklahoma City broadcasters.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But my favorite, I don't have a least favorite of the movie, but my favorite cameo in the movie was Kevin Durant's mom.
Yes, that was really Kevin Durant's mom. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a mom, I got to appreciate that one, and she did a pretty good job.
She did, yes. He said when he won MVP, he said in that speech to his mom, you're the real MVP, which has become like a famous meme, but yeah, his mom is a pretty famous public figure. She had a moment where she was trash talking PJ Tucker in this year's, playoffs, where it was so she's fun. Wanda. Yeah.
I'm just going to have to look her up, find out more about her. I like her already.
Yeah.
And they also were playing, I guess it was World of Warcraft or something, but it was kind of like a D&D thing. And you like D&D.
Yeah. When they were sitting at the cafeteria table towards the end, it sounded more like D&D, but I've never played World of Warcraft, so it probably is that. But,
I mean, they did call it World of Warcraft, but.
Yeah. What did you think of Katie's acting?
It was probably about where I thought it would be.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I'm not that familiar with him, but he's not someone who's as a casual basketball observer. I don't see him as being an extremely expressive person.
Uh-huh.
And that is what carried over into his performances. He was not an extremely expressive person in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. When you're one of the top basketball players in the world, you don't also have to be a good actor.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was wondering about the theme of this movie. Mm-hmm. Because you had in the transfer of talent, you had Kevin Durant saying something like, hard work beats talent. You know, talent is great, but you know, you have to really have hard work to succeed in anything you want to do. Which, you know, is a theme that is in a lot of movies and makes sense that would be, you know, what we're doing here. But when did we ever see Brian or KD when each of them had no talent? When did we see either of them working hard to, you know, we saw a lot of Kevin Durant missing shots in gyms and stuff, but like.
Well, they both practiced a lot when they had no talent. They just weren't any good at it. It didn't improve their skill.
Yeah, so you know, until the, you know, spoiler alert, turn it off now. But, you know, Brian hits the big shot at the end, even though he sucks for most of the rest of the game. And then at the end, you know, he says he got a little better. And but through most of it, it's, you know, like, it wasn't the thing of like, okay, Kevin Durant doesn't have his talent anymore, so now he's going to play really hard, or now he's going to whatever, and that's actually how you succeed. It was like, yeah, you have no talent, so he sucks, and maybe he's going to get benched. So
yeah, so clearly the people who wrote this weren't actually thinking about what they were writing.
Right, yeah.
The one thing I will say, though, is, and this doesn't apply to Kevin Durant in this movie, but it does apply to Brian, potentially. So I have mentioned before that I am a speech therapist. So I have, in my career, worked with kids on improving their sound production. You know, little kids can't say their S's, their R's, whatever. You work with them. They take homework home and they work with their families. And the more work they do, you know, you pick them up for 2 half-hours a week. They're not, you know, that's not going to fix them. The parents really have to do all the work with them. However, an important thing to note is people will say practice makes perfect, but it's not really true. What's really true is that perfect practice makes perfect. So if you practice something incorrectly, you're not going to get perfect at it. You're just going to keep doing the thing wrong. So in this case, perhaps Brian briefly had some talent, which kind of showed him how to do the moves. So at the end, like, he was a much better player in that last game than he ever was at anything. He even playing himself in his own driveway. Mm-hmm. Like, in that, even though he wasn't a great player in that last game, he was much better than he had been ever before. So maybe, like, having the talent, let his body practice it the right way. So while, you know, he's never going to be Kevin Durant, it did let him be better than he was. So the little spurt of talent was the speech therapist in this scenario.
Uh-huh. Which is fine, and that's fine, yeah. But that's not the theme that they established, so.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And the other thing I hate about, like, I understand in the world of guys, if you're good at sports, other guys like you. Doesn't really matter anything else about you. If you're good at sports, other guys like you. That's the key. I've heard a lot of people, I moved to 50 different high schools in my high school career, but I was really good at whatever sport, and so I always was able to make friends. So that's a guy thing. That's the standard. If you can play sports, the other guys like you.
Uh-huh.
But I really hate that. What was the other guy's name on the team? Connor, Colin, something?
Something like that, yeah.
He was a jerk and a bully. He was, like, showing video of this guy doing embarrassing things to the entire cafeteria. Like, seriously, that's bullying. But then when the guy's good at it, he's like, oh, hey, yeah, cool. Let's be buddy. I mean, at first he was resentful a little, but then he was like, all right, we're winning games. Cool. I like you.
Yeah.
And then he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Guys are weird.
And there was no real resolution to that. Like, there was no mm-hmm. moment of, like, here's what you get, bully. This is what happens. It was just like, okay,
yeah.
Now you're the second best player and still, you know, still do good stuff on the team. So
I think they tried to make some closure in that last game because earlier games when Brian had the talent and the coach was like, pass it to Brian. Connor was like, no, I'm the star. But then in the last game, he wanted to pass it to Brian. Brian was like, no, don't pass it to me. But, like, that was his growth, was to, like,
pass to the open man.
Yeah. So really, really bad movie.
Yeah. So you can see I listed the movies that we have so far.
I saw that. I'm very excited by that.
Because then
so
we're
where would I put it?
Yeah, we're going to rank it. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, where would you, although I didn't know, I should have numbered them.
Yeah.
I think,
so I would put it second to last.
Second to last. So right between the Fish That Saved Pittsburgh and Full Court Miracle.
No. Sorry, I hadn't scrolled to the second page yet. No, I would put it between Full Court Miracle and Double Teamed.
Okay.
So Full Court I don't know. I would put it equal to Double Teamed, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I had mine in the twos range, so right in the Teen Wolf, Corey Weissman, Sunset Park range. Mm-hmm. That's too high for you. 0.25 is just way too high.
Way too high.
All right. So yeah, it's somewhere in our bottom five.
It's low.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad.
It is pretty bad. And I would guess, maybe the last movie about the Oklahoma City Thunder that ever, gets made. Until the next Kevin Durant is luckily drafted there.
I have decided, though, I think you and I could write a screenplay for a basketball movie.
Oh, we 100% could. And we could get it. We could get it at least average.
I think that we should do it.
Okay.
I think that'll be like, I know things are busy right now. It's summer. Things are going on, whatever. But I think maybe that should be a project that we work on. Like another podcast that I listen to called The Sporkful, which is an award-winning podcast. They did, I think, a 5-part series on making a new pasta. And the host created a new pasta. It's so entertaining. If you have time to listen to it, you will love this podcast. At least the five episodes of creating this new pasta. And it picked up so much traction. I don't want to really give a spoiler, but it is purchasable at this time, that pasta. So I think maybe we should, you know, write a screenplay as our project.
And develop it on the pod, talk about the elements, that sort of thing. Cool. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that.
I was going to say that would be a good off-season project, but there is no off-season. So
there is no off-season.
No. Okay, but what are we...
Maybe early in the MNBA season, you know, things are just getting started and we don't also have WNBA news and everything. So maybe at that point we can do something.
I think that's a good idea. What are we watching next week?
We are watching a recently released movie called Boogie.
Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've never heard of that one either.
Mm-hmm. You have, because we've discussed it, but it's okay. I understand you're forgetting it.
Okay. All right, so let's move into our last segment of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Our draft of the most exciting moments in sports. Right? That's what we're doing?
That's right. Can you just explain the parameters a little bit?
Yeah, so we're doing this because of the Laney shot from last night. You know, the game-winning shot. Very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Nerve-wracking leading up, but that shot was very exciting. And so we thought, what are some other very exciting moments that happen in and around sports? Mm-hmm. And so this is whatever that means to you, most exciting moments in sports. It can be part of the game. It can be after the game, middle of the game, whatever. And
I also didn't take it as like a specific, like momentary moment. It might be like a, I don't know.
Okay.
Like a thing, like a compilation that, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So this is just up to our interpretation. We'll do probably 4 picks snake, just like we always do.
Sure.
Okay. Do you want first or second pick?
Oh, I don't care. Up to you.
Okay. I'll take first pick then.
Okay.
My number one pick, most exciting, and I'm just going to preface this by saying most of my moments are like actual, like on court, on field moments that happen. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, putting them in the context of the playoffs or the finals or whatever makes it more exciting. So I'm just going to say, you'll see what I mean. Most, for me, the most exciting thing that can happen in sports is a buzzer beater in basketball.
Okay.
Which is almost, Laney's was a game winner. There was like 15 seconds left. But a buzzer beater, I think, is the most exciting thing because it happens only when you're not winning. You're either tied or you're down.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit the buzzer beater and, you know, it leaves your hand and for a second, every single person, including the person that shot, doesn't know if it's going in or not. And if it goes in, then it means this team wins. And if it doesn't go in, either they're going to overtime or that team loses.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think the stakes are great in that. The celebration afterwards is always awesome. Mm-hmm. And the second...
someone is extremely, really excited.
Right. Either way. Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, you know, of course, I have a basketball bias, but... but buzzer beater, I think, is the most exciting thing for me in sports.
So in general, a buzzer beater, not a specific one.
Yeah, any buzzer. I mean, there's been some awesome LeBron ones. There's been some awesome, the Arike Ogunbowale in college was awesome. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. These aren't necessarily like my, this one I'm going to say now is not like my first most exciting one.
That's fine.
Okay. So this first one that I'm going to pick was an actual specific instance, and it was in, I believe, 2018 when UMBC beat number one Virginia in the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
So UMBC stands for University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Your sister attended there. It is not a school that is known for its basketball.
No.
It is a school that is very well known for its academics and for its stellar chess team, which has churned out grandmasters like no one else.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they beat number one Virginia, number one seed Virginia. And their mascot is a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, and his name is True Grit. So there were a lot of headlines about the grit that UMBC had. And then because they're also like really smart, clever people, their UMBC Athletics Twitter had a lot of really great tweets around that time. It was just so enjoyable. We all got shirts. We posed with our shirts. It was just really exciting. So that was one of my favorite moments in sports.
That's a very smart one. Yeah. I didn't think of that in this, but I remember sitting with my sister in the car listening to that on the radio. I think there was a show that night.
Yeah.
And so we didn't see anything. We had our phones off or whatever. And then as we were leaving, it was like, oh, this thing might happen. And then we were driving and listening to it. And it was just crazy. And then the next like 2 weeks seeing this school that, you know, is an awesome school, but not a nationally recognized school. Most people in the country had never heard of it before that. Mm-hmm. And seeing it all over ESPN, it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was so fun.
All
right, so my next one is an oldie. You were not alive for this, but in 1984 in the Olympics in LA, Mary Lou Retton in gymnastics hit two perfect tens on the vault and on the floor exercise. And I was, you know, I was a teen then, a young teen. And I remember watching it. I think I was at my aunt and uncle's house because I often would stay. I lived in the city of Pittsburgh growing up, but I had family that lived in more suburban and rural areas who I grew up with a single mom, and they would often take me out into the like fresh air in the summer. And I remember being at my aunt and uncle's house and watching those gymnastics, and it was just so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I looked it up, because I wanted to get the year right, I found out that Mary Lou Retton, who did this, had surgery for a knee issue about a month before the Olympics. Right?
Gymnastics freaked me out all the time. I'm always like,
Yeah. And I honestly, I am not a fan of floor exercises. I think it's the most ridiculous thing. I think that there's athleticism and artistry in it, but I still think it's the most ridiculous thing. But still, I'm going to hang on to that perfect 10 in that she got.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I like how yours are specific moments so far. I like that. Because I just had more general, like the buzzer, just a buzzer beater. But my next one is going to be a walk-off home run in baseball. Similar to the buzzer beater, you know, comes down to it. And especially in baseball, I mean, you could be down to your last strike where it looks like, oh, there's no shot. And a walk-off homer, and especially because a walk-off has to happen at home. So you have the home crowd behind you and just this, you know, often it's either you're tied or you're down and it looks like you're about to lose. And then all of a sudden this one moment happens and you're like, oh my God, we just won. It's a lot of fun. I don't think I've ever, I feel like I would have remembered if I ever saw one live. They are always a joy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go with, my next pick is going to be a really good basketball introduction. Like when the announcer, and starting at shooting guard, and they're playing the hype music in the back. The Chicago Bulls did it the best. Watching that Last Dance documentary with the do 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 do, and announcing the Bulls and each of the players, I think that's just, especially in like the playoffs, and it's your team, that's super exciting when it's like, here they are, here we go, we're about to get into it. So, yeah, okay, your last two picks.
My last two picks. Again, I have picked specific things. So I was a child growing up in Pittsburgh in the 70s. So the most exciting thing to happen in Pittsburgh in the 70s was 1979, sports-wise, when the Steelers and the Pirates both won their championships.
Which teams?
The Steelers.
Got it.
And the Pirates. The Steelers and the Pirates.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. So in January 1979, the Steelers beat the Dallas Cowboys. I believe they also won the next year. I think they won two Super Bowls in a row. But this particular year, it was their third Super Bowl. And they won. They had, you know, I know the names of so many players. I was just brainstorming and thinking of the names that I remember. Terry Bradshaw, obviously he's famous, but Lynn Swann, Rocky Blyer, John Stallworth, Mean Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Franco Harris. Those were all players I remember. And the Pirates, they not only won that year, but they also had a citywide anthem using the song We Are Family. That was a Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh Pirates anthem. Everyone had shirts. Everyone sang it all the time. It was on every commercial. It was at every game. So Willie Stargell was the team captain. Kent Tekulve, Bert Blylevin, Phil Garner, all these great players were on that team. So that was a great year. A great moment in quotes was the year 1979.
That's great. That's awesome. Pittsburgh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then my last one is actually a personal one.
Okay.
My own personal great moment in sports. So when I was in about third or fourth grade, for any of our younger listeners, dodgeball was a phys ed sanctioned sport when I was in school. It was probably like when the teachers didn't feel like planning something else to do, they'd just bring out the dodgeballs. But we were encouraged to just wing balls at each other and hit each other in the head and anywhere else. So dodgeball was a very competitive and very big phys ed class sport. It was called gym class when I was a kid, but phys ed class sport. So I, as you may have gathered, am not that athletic.
What?
You got it. So the deal with dodgeball is one team is on one side of the middle of the gym and the other team's on the other side of the middle. And you can't cross that line to hit somebody with the ball, but you can go up to the line to hit someone with the ball. Mm-hmm. So Bobby Weiss was a kid in my grade and he was, you know, I wouldn't say he was a total jerk, but he was kind of a third or fourth grade jerk, like many kids are. And he was very cocky about his athletic skills and especially about his athletic skills, you know, versus me, you know, probably even less athletic than I am now. So he was getting everyone out on my team. And then the ball came to me. And I decided I was going to get Bobby Weiss out. And he was very, very, very cocky. So as I approached the line, because I knew I had to get as close to him as I could, he purposely bent down to tie his shoe because he was so confident
that you would miss.
Be hit by... And I clocked him with it.
Nice.
I hit him so hard and like smack on the shoulder or somewhere. Like I hit him and he was out. And that was my moment of sports glory. The only one I've ever had in my entire life. I was not a bad goalie in gym class soccer. But, you know, it never approached this level of greatness.
That is awesome, Mom. Congratulations on that.
That was my moment.
That's great. Mm-hmm. All right, and then I think I get just one more, right?
Just
I've done three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go a little different this time. I'm gonna go the moment when you're at a game with people, whether it's your family or friends or whatever, and somebody that you're with says, "I'm gonna go get food. Do you want me to get you something?" That's one of the best moments in sports. Because then you could keep sitting and watching and enjoying while they go walk through the crowds and wait on lines and whatever. And then they come back and bring you food. That's...
And you didn't have to go anywhere.
I didn't have to go anywhere. I didn't have to miss any of the game.
Uh-huh. You didn't have to walk.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of my top four moments in all sports. Okay. Did you have any, whatever it's called, honorable mentions?
Not really.
Okay. I'll just quickly list off a couple of mine. The ninth inning of a no hitter when everybody's like, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? It's very exciting. In football, a Hail Mary that actually works. Again, similar reasons to the buzzer beater and the walk-off homer. In general, a Steph Curry dagger three-pointer. Mm. You know, not necessarily a buzzer beater, but like last 2 minutes of the game and you're like, hey, we still have a chance here. And then Steph Curry comes down and hits a three right in your face and you just know it's over. Very exciting. Unfortunately, I've been on the wrong side of that a couple of times. Not in my face, but in my team's face.
Wow.
Yes.
I never knew.
And what's my last one? A game-winning shootout goal, either hockey or soccer, both, you know, same thing. Comes down to the wire, last second. You put this in, you win, you don't, you lose or tie. Very exciting. But the food thing, I think that's probably my favorite.
That makes sense. That is on brand.
Yes.
Yes, I get that. And that's it for episode 34. Send in your questions, comments, movie thoughts, and guest suggestions to familycordvision@gmail.com.
For the first time ever, I'm going to cut in here. It's possible, I would say it's a 5% chance, that there's some kind of special episode next week.
Oh. You haven't even told me about that.
But you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Possibly recording at our usual time.
Oh, okay, cool. I do, because you know what it is, Jack? You don't respond to texts. So I had no idea that you were even considering that.
So we're not going to announce it now, because if it doesn't happen, then it's just even more disappointing. But there's a small chance that there is some kind of special episode next week. Mm-hmm. So be on the lookout for that. If not, we'll just do a regular episode and be on the lookout for that as well.
And we'll pretend that we didn't even say this.
Yeah, we'll just ignore it. But in the meantime, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @FamCourtVision. And don't forget to subscribe or follow on Google Podcasts, Spotify. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Almost got it. We'll see you next week on Family Court Vision.
The mother of all basketball podcasts.